If you find value in our show and want to help us produce more awesomeness, there are several ways to do so. Go to anchor.fm/PVOTN and help us monetarily and send us a message. We would love to hear from you. Or you can find us at Patreon at patreon.com/PVOTN Fandemic. That's capital PVOTN, lowercase FANDEMIC, where levels of awesomeness awaits and a chance to be part of the show. If you can't help monetarily, no biggie. Share the awesomeness on your socials and don't forget to leave a review. All right, let's get on with the show.
Get your earphones in, everybody, and everybody hear us out. We are Rob Uten and Brian Dennis, and this is PVOTN. We've got my dad leveling up your awesomeness, dropping knowledge of TV, movies, and comics. We've got Brian Dennis flexing his nerd muscles. How you level up your awesomeness? He will solve the puzzle. Just when you thought you've heard it all, a new episode will come along. Won't you like, subscribe, and rate our show? One last thing. Leave a 5-star review before you go. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Prevenge of the Nerds. This is a podcast about the stories that could have led to your favorite movies, TV shows, and so much more. I'm Bradley Butin, and this is my co-host,
Brian S. Dennis, where the S stands for Q.
And these are the voyages of a couple of awesome guys that want to nerd out. Our mission is to be your guides on this quest to level up your awesomeness. We will nerd out, we will get sidetracked, and we will boldly go to the bathroom later because I've had a couple of drinks tonight. This is how the show is going to go. First, we will cover our topic of the week. We will discuss, theorize, and give our 2 cents worth, along with a penny for our thoughts. Then we'll pitch something awesome and have a chat. But first, Brian,
did
you know that Jackie Chan dubbed the Beast's lines in the Chinese translation of Disney's animated classic Beauty and the Beast, along with singing all the songs in Mandarin?
Well, that is a tale as old as time. A song as old as rhyme. Beauty and Jackie Chan. I did not know that. That is incredibly awesome. That is great.
I know.
That is seriously cool.
Right? And I bet you didn't even get hurt doing it.
That was also the best part. I mean, okay, in today's world where we're much more sensitive, some of the Rush Hour movies are a little problematic. But one of the best things of the Rush Hour movies were when they would show the outtakes, and you would see, I always think the president Jackie Chan would do his own stunts. But then you would see the outtakes, and you could see like the legit pain this poor man was in, and he'd just shake it off and let's do it again. Yeah. And Chris Tucker's over in the corner drinking a coffee, like, yeah, you do that, Jackie. You do you, sir. Gonna go make fun of people, as you know it, as I would gladly be doing as well. So yes, I will never look at the Beast the same way, knowing that Jackie Chan did the Mandarin voicing. That's fantastic.
I know. I thought that was a cool tidbit. So Brian, before we get into our main topic,
yes, sir.
Can you tell me, how did you level up your awesome this week?
I leveled up my awesome a lot on Monday, where I got to hang out and spend some time in a classroom talking to some youth about different things in the world. I got to meet some really, really cool young people and got to chop it up for a little bit with my tag team partner, Mr. Bradley Butin.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. We had such a good time. And yeah, I was talking to one of my students, Jared, if you're out there, you're awesome. So yeah, we all had so much fun.
It was a cool thing. And again, Bradley and I both teach in some different settings. Brad, I gotta say, the work you do with those young folks is absolutely phenomenal. Your co-teacher is very cool as well. So again, it was a great honor to go and get again meet some young kids, and again, shout out to both of your classes. Great group of folks, and I had a ball.
Yes, you know what, I think, yeah, this is the first time we've ever shouted out Jenna. I hope you're listening to the show. If not, I'll know
why. Aren't you
right?
Why aren't you?
That's right. I'm still going to tell her we're having, we had a whole conversation about her on the podcast, and we'll
yes. I'm sure she'll be like, okay, what did you say? And she'll be, she it'll be the most downloaded episode of the month. Like, no, I want to hear.
Brian, what's our topic of the week?
Okay, so last week during the record, we did a deep dive into Moon Knight. So we're going to do a bit of a deep dive into season two of Picard. Again, a great show starring Patrick Stewart as Admiral Jean-Luc Picard. And we've also got, again, our task of the week.
Awesome. So let's talk about Star Trek. Star Trek is Paramount's, probably their biggest thing. That and Yellowstone. And honestly, yes. Do they need anything else?
I mean, I just think we need to somehow get the two in. Because, you know, if there's ever anything, as we get to this, if there's anything that would make the Borg back the F up, it's the Sam Elliott. That's like, because he would not be intimidated at all. He'd just show up with a little chaw in his cheek. You know, he wouldn't even pull out his guns. He'd just look at him and float his mustache.
Right.
And the Borg are like, we can't assimilate this. No, it's too rugged. We're out. We are totally out.
Yes, you know you have a good Western when you got Sam Elliott.
Yes. R.I.P. to Patrick Swayze, but I kind of wanted just somebody, I wanted a Dalton reference this one time. Like someone to look at someone again, someone look at Tim McGraw and go, I thought you'd be bigger. Like I wanted a little bit of that, but you know, barring that, yes. The Yellowstone property, the Yellowstone universe, the Star Trek universe, and that's not even talking again about another Taylor, I forget his last name, product, Sheridan. But yes. So, you know, the mayor of Youngstown, The Good Fight, Halo. I mean, seriously, of all the streaming services that are out there fighting for our dollars and our attention, Paramount Plus is coming strong.
They are. I mean, Netflix has some real competition right now. Man, I mean, just having Star Trek itself is a pretty big thing.
Yes.
With the stuff that they've put out, I mean, Lower Decks. I don't know. Did you ever watch that?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, it's a good filler show when there's nothing on. Yep, it's funny. And I never watched, what's that, Prodigy or...
Yeah, I tried watching one episode. It just wasn't my cup of tea. That definitely key for a younger audience, so, you know, which is fine.
Yeah. I like my Star Trek in the form of TV shows.
Yep.
I mean, I prefer that over the movies.
Yes, absolutely. And again, what we're going to talk about both with Picard, and we could obviously have a very similar conversation with the first episodes of Strange New Worlds. Star Trek really has a canon base. When you look at the original series that was in, I believe, 67, mm-hmm. and then you have the Next Generation started in the late 80s. Mm-hmm. Just those pieces of property created so much lore about Star Trek. And yes, there's been Deep Space Nine, there's been Voyager, there's been Enterprise, there have been other shows, but really what makes Star Trek great is when it really hits on both of those two, because for, you know, two very different generations, that is what Star Trek is. Mm-hmm. So we want our references to Kirk, we want Spock, we want Picard, we want Data, and again, as I said, we want Picard.
Yeah, and so the thing that's cool about Star Trek is you can do anything with it.
Yes.
It's like Doctor Who, and better than Doctor Who, probably, you know, that I'm sure you agree with that.
as Bradley can see the scowl on my face. If there's new listeners to our podcast, I just cannot wrap my head around Doctor Who. I've tried. I just can't quite do it. And I believe we have a cameo behind you, sir.
It looks like we do. Leia, welcome to Prevenge of the Nerds. I want to say hi to Brian.
Hi, I made your slime.
Oh, you've got some slime coming to you, Brian, sir.
Awesome. Hey, Leia, I heard from one of our listeners, we were reviewing, Brad, I forget what show they were catching up, but I forgot what we were discussing, but they were unfamiliar with a lot of shows we were discussing. I heard when Leia reviewed Kid Danger, they were like, there, I know Kid Danger. So nice. Leia, you got some fans out there as well.
You got some fans, baby girl. Can you hear him? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
That's what I'm on your shoulder.
Okay, cool. So do you have a review for us today? How was your weekend?
Good.
Oh, let's not yell.
What color is my slime? Is that blue? Awesome. There's a little bit of glare, but it's blue. Awesome.
It's okay. Blue and it's got sparkles, sparkly.
You know, if it's got blue and got sparkles, that pretty much is who I am. I'm blue. Da 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 da. I should never say.
Oh, okay. All right, later.
What did you say about the, what was that? What about the glitter?
Something, there's two different kinds of blue or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
You can only see one type.
All right, well, why don't you tell Brian, we'll talk to you later, right?
I'll talk to you later. I got all a right. Dog to take.
I love you, baby girl.
Super sweet. That's still super, super sweet.
Bye, Brian Dennis.
Bye, Leia. You went, by the way, you win dad every week. So good job out of you, sir.
Thank you. All right, so back to Star Trek.
Yes.
All right, so tell us where were we about there? My brain's fried today.
It's okay. So we're talking about just different aspects of it and the things that we really enjoyed. And your point was that, you know, Paramount really has, with the canon of Star Trek, and you can really do anything. And, I mean, this season of Picard, season two, really talked about all the different things you can do, but you're right. With Star Trek, you can do, and that's why y'all said it's better than why we remind it's better than Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. But Star Trek does allow you a lot of possibilities. And I, before we get too far into this, one of the things to really also talk about what Star Trek has always done is really through a lens of the future, really reflect humanity's potential, but also social problems. So they use other planets. They talk about things in historical context. But I saw someone complain about one of the first episodes of Strange New Worlds and saying, I can't believe Star Wars has now gotten political. And my first thought was, have you never noticed the show? The Next Generation show talked about the aspect of binary versus non-binary very early on. By the way, just I don't know why, because I don't sleep much if you listen to this. Guess what I've been re-binging earlier today? Season two of Orville. Again,
nice.
Speaking so much of the show that take the social commentary, and I was a late convert to Orville because I really like Seth MacFarlane, but I also see anything that Seth MacFarlane does as live usually is not nearly as good as his animated stuff. But the Orville has really grown. I'm so glad that there's going to be an additional product related to the Orville coming out soon as well. So.
I'm not sure about Ted the series though. I don't know if there's enough there. I didn't
think there was enough for a sequel, tell you the truth. I didn't think there was enough for a sequel.
Unless they're gonna get Mark Wahlberg, but they're not, they don't got Mark Wahlberg.
They don't have Mark Wahlberg money for a series, no.
Right. No. So I mean, I do want to see Father Stew. I heard that is a really good movie.
Good. Okay.
But man, I just don't see a series. I hope I'm wrong. And I'm gonna check out the first couple episodes, I'm sure. But you know. Ted, the series, sure, whatever.
I mean, it's going back really quick before we move on, it's a funny idea. It was really a novel idea for one movie.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that you're right. Is there enough there to maintain a sequel? I didn't think there was, much less an actual series. Yeah, we got a little tough there.
Right? Yeah. I think they're reaching. So.
Yeah.
But
well, Brad and I, we both come from the world that Alf was a part of our childhoods.
Yeah.
And Afterlife, honestly, as much as Alf is a cherished memory because I was a child, I've actually gone back and rewatched Alf episodes. You find them on YouTube and stuff. Alf, after that first season, we kind of saw what we needed to see. We saw the puppet. We learned about Mel Mac. He liked to eat cats. Yeah. That was pretty much it. And it's like, okay, yeah, all right, he's still hiding. And he's hiding.
Yeah,
and he's still trying to eat the cat Lucky. Okay, yeah.
Great writing. I mean, all the writers are just on coke, so.
Yeah. Absolutely, but it's the same decade they gave us V, so we're good. All right,
that's true. And you know what, Elf? There's a place for Elf in today, I believe. I think that done right, it would be pretty cool.
What I needed, and this is just really quickly, what we need is an Alf, Howard, the Duck tag team. That's what we need.
Oh, dude, that'd be awesome. That would be so cool.
Because in my head, Melmac and Howard's, I think Howard calls it Duck World. Mm-hmm. In my head, Duck World and Melmac are in the same solar system. Mm-hmm. So, of course, why wouldn't Gordon Shumway, and if you don't know who Gordon Shumway is, you really are not a fan. Why wouldn't Gordon Shumway, he's like the, I know his real name, have Gordon Shumway and Howard T. Duck hang out. And I think that would be this great adventure, just bobbing around the universe, trying to eat cats. I think it's great.
I mean, that's an animated movie.
It really is.
TV series all day long. I mean, right.
Why can't Marvel? I don't know who owns Alf, but I'm assuming Marvel with Disney money could buy the property,
correct,
Alf, and do something. Because what else is going on with it? Right.
I mean,
now?
I'm sure we could probably buy the property with our pocket.
We could probably buy the actors. We could probably buy the actual Alf puppet at this point. Like, is this some producer's garage?
Yeah.
Like, that was for, you know, what happened to all your money, Dad? As you said, Brad, Coke. The 80s, the hell of a drug. You see this, you know, you just see at one point Rick James was also rich, R.I.P. So yeah, we're rambling, but yes, we need so those of you at Disney, and again, we know you're listening. All right. Absolutely. Give us the Alf Howard the Duck series and make it totally mature. And you have to have the extra, you know, protections for your Disney Plus audience. But give us that. Absolutely.
And make it as campy as the 80s shows.
Absolutely.
Nothing upgraded.
Give us a couple mix up when you actually still have the puppet's arm. Like, that's what we want. Right? Yes. Like, do it like on accidentally on purpose.
Yes.
You see the puppet's arm. Like, oh, yeah. All right. That works. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. Oh, I want to see Star Trek end up in that universe.
Wow. Wouldn't it be great to see Spock stuck in a room with Howard and Alf and just try and just logic his way out of this? Like, you would slowly see Spock's ears beginning to like curl over, like,
right, yes. Turn red.
Yes, absolutely. Like, he's only half human, so this one he just snaps and just wrecks shop. Like, oh, whatever.
He Vulcan death pinches them.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Someone comes up, right, and he's wearing like an Alf hat, and he's cooking Howard. That's what would happen.
That's right. He mind melds the two together.
All right, so let's get ourselves back on to Picard, because again, folks, we tell you in the intro, tangents. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So just a couple of thoughts on this as well. So when we look at Picard, I just jotted down a few notes that I want to remind myself about Picard, which is what I love so much about, and I like season one. I loved season two, which is the fact that it really boomeranged back to a lot of things in both in the Next Generation show, even some stuff for some of the movies. Again, I like the shows much, the series much better than the movies. And it touched point on, again, some of the characters that I've always really, some of my favorite characters. So Q, absolutely. John LaChance did a fantastic job. Something I feel like they have ignored a lot is the Soong timeline. If you don't know who Noonien Soong is, he's the person that created Data. So we got a lot of time with his great, 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 probably even more than that, great grandfather, all of which are played by Brent Spiner. Gotta love him. And remember, when an alien wraps their tentacle around your throat to make you say, no, peace. All right. The Borg Queen. Again, if you're gonna have Anthony Revson Data, we need the Borg Queen. Mm-hmm. And again, I remember thinking a few weeks ago what I wanted to see, because I thought was such a great species or plot point that they had in two or three different episodes, but never really saw it in fruition, is the Travelers. So we got a lot, we got them. And of course, the one time I would say this, they actually gave me something in Star Trek I thought I'd never, ever say, which is they gave me a moment featuring Wesley Crusher that I enjoyed.
I knew you were going to go there. I
loved Will Wheaton on Big Bang Theory. Wesley Crusher, after like four episodes, I'm like, who is this cat? Like, I want to, like, come on now. Because he was waiting. Because I'm sorry. And again, this is going to be a quick tangent. If you kill my dad, you are not a hero. Okay, he was way too cozy with Jean-Luc Picard, who caused his father's death, totally crushing on his mom. And I will say this is for this reason, a friend of mine asked for this. who is my favorite captain? And I go Captain Sisko for only one reason. Here it is, Bradley. Benjamin Sisko closes the deal with Dr. Crusher. There is no doubt in my mind. Okay, seven seasons. Six. She wasn't on season number two. Six seasons. Not a thing. Sisko would have needed three episodes. That's it.
You're not wrong. I mean, not to mention, three episodes tops. I mean,
yes.
Easy, one episode. You know, you probably string along for two. I mean, for drama.
Riker actually got some from Dr. Crusher.
I do remember that.
Remember that? Well, it's not. While it may not have been the quote, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantoni from *Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves*. It will not be. It will be my body, but it will not be me. It may. Some things went down because, similar to Lieutenant Commander Data, Commander Riker is fully functional. All right. Okay, save me from myself, sir. Let's talk some more Picard.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's fill in the gaps.
Okay, so let's fill in the gaps. So here's the big thing. Again, these are going to be some spoilers because when we do our deep dive, we get more into it. But the entire premise of the show is the Borg Queen, who unlike usually presented as the Borg Queen, is wearing a helmet. And the Borg Queen actually is there looking like she's ready to invade our space again. And all of a sudden, we see the crew featuring Admiral Picard transported back to the 21st century and all the adventures that followed that. What was so great about Picard as a season is that it clarified or really revamped a lot of the stories of the character we follow. So I'm going to skip Q for a moment, but we got to really get more of the background on the Soon family tree. So again, if you know the Next Generation forward, we see the ideas of androids or synthetics, as they're called in season one. And really, one of the things we saw in the Next Generation was establishing that androids who had the positronic brain, a la Commander Data, as well as, pop quiz, what was Data's daughter's name? Do you remember, Bradley?
Oh, gosh, no, I don't.
Lol.
That's right.
Okay. Yes. Yep. And that entire, we're going to be a race of human beings, of actually synthetic human beings and Adair people. So we saw a lot of the backlash against synthetics in season one. We also had one of the actors from season one be used in season two to show some of the initial growth of that. We got to see that, you know what, while Data is everybody's favorite android, he does not come from a line of sympathetic creatures. We got to see a lot more of the Guinan storyline and really talking about her knowing Picard, which had always been intimated about when did they meet, how did they meet. They kept it under wraps. And again, the Travelers. So one of the things that we saw in the Next Generation show was the introduction of a gentleman who simply goes by the name The Traveler. And if you had a chance to watch the episode, he has the ability to help cross large aspects of space, where he accidentally sends the USS Enterprise into a universe in which thought becomes matter. And we see Captain Picard sit down to have a cup of tea with his elderly mother. This is going to matter here in a moment. Also, one of the things that comes out of that first episode with the Travelers is that the Travelers state that Wesley Crusher has all the aspects of becoming a Traveler himself. And that was actually used four or five seasons later to actually write the Wesley Crusher character out of the show, is that he, in trying to save a group of Native Americans, indigenous people, actually becomes a Traveler. So we see all these kind of season touch points from the Next Generation show and even a little bit from the original series that now we see those pulled together in the episode of Picard. So much Picard had one thing in mind, which is the idea of redemption. So how do we redeem ourselves? How does Picard finally move to peace? Is he an explorer or is he running away, which are questions that he asks himself? How does Q resolve having a, for what we would think, a never-ending existence? Then again, the birth of synthetics and symbiotes, well, not symbiotes, but androids, that we'll see so much in the future. So much of this season was about, laying the track for things we see later, and even explaining a lot of the things that, which I love about time travel. You have events that only happen because of time travel. I think it was a good place that talked about, you don't think too hard about time travel. It just kind of is what.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
I got a little thing on my screen that just said my mic cut out for a second.
Oh, gotcha. Yep.
Yep. But just to tie a bow on it, so much of Picard was the idea that it filled in some of the gaps between humanity and making that initial first contact, and also who really were the first contacts, what happens beyond there, and a lot of the backstory of some of our favorite characters, such as Picard, such as Data, and of course, my absolute favorite character in all of Star Trek, which is Q.
Yeah, and we got some losses in the season as well.
We do have some losses in the season.
I mean, nothing huge. It was obviously the new people that Picard season one picked up. What was it? What's the pilot's name?
Rios.
Rios was probably my favorite character in season one.
I know you're hoping for like a Rios spinoff.
Yes, that's the Stargazer, right?
Yes. Yeah. I believe that's what it's supposed to be. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So that's gonna be awesome. So I just love that actor. Yes. Did you ever watch Salvation?
No.
You check it out. There's two seasons of it. It should have got a third season to tie everything up.
Sure.
But it's fantastic. He plays like an Elon Musk type character.
Okay.
Who, you know, has plans to save the world, and then has to put them into place. So
yes,
it's definitely good. Check. I'm sure it's streaming somewhere, but
I would even bet money I've seen it as suggested for me, because you know the algorithm is a thing. Right. So I would definitely check out that. We also lost Agnes, played by Alison Pill, who I loved in The Newsroom. So we saw her character, if not completely go away, undergo a major shift.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to see if that character is there in season three, because there's space
there is for that. Yep. And the way that they ended season two was fantastic with her. Yes. I was very, very impressed with that. So
it's something that you didn't think you'd ever actually see. I mean, kind of
right.
And I think a good way broke kind of a rule, at least an expectation of how the Star Trek universe works with, again, how season two ends. We also saw kind of a returning of a very popular character in Seven of Nine, and we got kind of old school Seven of Nine, which is great as well.
Harry, what do you mean? Have you met Kendall? Come here, Kendall.
I don't believe I've met Kendall.
This is my old one. This is Brian.
So she will be your number one, since we're talking Picard.
Yep, she is my number one. She is number one. She's my Nightwing. Hey,
Daddy. There you go.
She's 9 to 10 years older than me.
And she can fit into her and Leia have the same shoe size, apparently.
So does that mean that you have small feet, Kim, or Leia has big feet?
Probably both.
Yeah. Somewhere in the middle, right? Okay.
Yeah. Oh man, that's scary. All right. All right. Tell Brian good night.
Good night.
That's loud.
Good night, Princess Leia.
Oh man. All right. Yeah. So Star Trek Picard, fantastic. Paramount Plus is doing all the right things with Star Trek. So keep up the good work. And Brian, anything you want to do to end our Star Trek talk there?
Well, as always, Bradley, we talked about Kima being your number one. I think there's only thing we can say about Picard, which is when talking about season three and all the right things they're doing about Paramount Plus is doing with Star Trek, I think there's only three words you can say, and that is make it so.
Yes, absolutely. Good call, sir. Now, Brian, you got a pitch for me, and I cannot wait to. You want to do the tap first? You want to go for the pitch?
Let's do the tap first, because my pitch might take a minute. So let's do the tap first.
So my tap is I was reading some Green Arrow comics, some older ones today, and I got this idea. I'm like, you know what? if there's one character in DC that they could totally revamp, redo, Green Arrow would make a good choice. Sure. So I'm thinking, like, Brian, what do you think that DC could do to differentiate Green Arrow's issues, like a la he's Batman light, you know? Like, sure. what could DC Comics do to make Green Arrow bigger, to kind of revamp the character?
Sure. So I think you can go a couple different ways. So one of the things that I think is that to make it timely is, because we talk about the Great Recession, all the things that happened with our country, mm-hmm. as well as the light of the pandemic, have Ollie Quinn go completely broke. And I know they've done that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But have him go broke, but seriously maintain him at, seriously have no money to show. And I think broken Ollie is the best Ollie that there is.
It is.
But really show him as, you know, he always has been a bit a man of the people, but really have that whole, everything has fallen apart. I think Ollie is best when you have losses. So I think one of the ways you make him bigger is to make him smaller. So you take away those things and take away, again, all the analogies to Batman. I mean, Ollie Quinn, I mean, everyone knows that I'm a huge Batman fan.
Yeah.
Green Arrow is a great character, but unfortunately, he catches a lot of that literally in the Dark Knight shadow, because there are so many similarities mm-hmm. to backstory and how Ollie Quinn lives his life versus Batman versus Bruce Wayne, at least on the periphery. By the way, right. Ollie Quinn and Bruce Wayne hate each other's guts.
Yes, they
okay?
do.
Okay, Ollie Quinn is like, if it wasn't for the Zero Smith bank account, he's a straight up hippie. Okay, right. I think that would be it. I think the or I could see the other aspect of it is our 45th president. Have Ollie Quinn really in what he thinks is maybe you have him injured where he mm-hmm. can't be a superhero anymore, at least for a minute. He can't do the costumed adventuring. So have him enter the world of politics. So you won't make him president. Well, maybe you could.
Yeah.
But make him like a governor or something where while he's recouping, he's having to do things kind of from the shadows. But because his public persona is so big, he's trying to manage both of those two things. I think you even make him, again, go back to the bases, you know, take everything from him and watch him recoup, or you make him, you really put the spotlight on Ollie Quinn and make mm-hmm. it harder for him to be Green Arrow and really have him have to do things without donning the mask, without grabbing the quiver. You know what? Make him blind. That's the thing, that's it. I think you take away his sight. Like, how would Ollie Quinn, the archer, by the way, have they ever decided who's a better archer, him or Hawkeye? Have we ever had that?
Yeah, I've read a couple articles. I mean, you go back and forth. It's going to be if you. I've read more that Oliver Quinn is a better archer than
Archer?
Hawkeye.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, just because he's been an archer longer.
Also, Hawkeye is a multifaceted weapon specialist, a la yeah. Arsenal or the original Speedy. Mm-hmm. He definitely, you know, likes his bow and arrow versus Ollie's kind of, but that's his deal. But I think if you did something, because I don't know if they have any, because in Marvel you've got Daredevil, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think DC has an analogs. The problem is you will run into they're trying to do Daredevil. Whatever. Mm-hmm. There's been too many stories over too many years. There's always gonna be something that's similar.
Yeah. Right?
But I think if you did that and have him, you know, again, fall apart, do a Tony Stark, just drop into a bottle.
Yeah.
He doesn't run his company, alienates everyone, doesn't want anyone around him. And you see him having to just reclaim himself, you know, and you could even, you know, what good is a blind archer? And he shows the value of that. I think it's time with person with disabilities. I think there's a lot that can be done with that. So yeah, that's going to be my way of differentiating. If you take away Ollie Quinn's sight and have him have to learn how to be both Ollie Quinn and Green, and I mean for a while. I don't mean like, three books into the story arc, there's surgery. No, keep him blind for years and just tell all the different stories through that, pun not intended, lens. I think that would be very, very interesting.
Yeah, you know what? So my pitch for it would be that have him older. Have him as an older gentleman and have him almost like a group of like almost like Justice Society of America age.
Sure.
So like he would kind of inspired all the now superheroes. So
sure. I mean,
he may not have been like, you know, Batman's inspiration, but right. you know, young Bruce Wayne knows that there's a Green Arrow out there.
Yeah.
That's vigilante.
Kind of like with Wildcat being the one that trains a lot of the current generation, well, Batman's generation on fighting. So,
right.
You know,
so, and then, okay. then you could have him blinded and then go into yeah. politics, right?
Sure.
And yeah. man, that would be cool. I, you know, like I love Green Arrow, and the reason why I love Green Arrow so much is because they do keep him grounded more than Batman in space and you know Batman yes. in every book and everything like that. Green Arrow is usually street level, and Green Arrow doesn't really. Like a lot of the other Justice Leaguers,
I mean, he sees the
Green Lantern,
right? And they, by the way, the Green Arrow stories are some of the most timely, topical stories you'll find in all of
comics. Hard traveling heroes.
Yes, but I think what Green and Batman does it a bit as well, but Green Arrow in a more day to day, Batman does almost from his own space of privilege versus Green Arrow just kind of crotchety with it.
Yeah,
that. Whether you were talking to Justice Society, Justice League, Avengers, Titans, Fantastic Four, whatever, you're taking these people with all these extraordinary abilities, and on some level, they're making decisions for the rest of us.
Yeah.
So there is some of that in a hypocrisy when you have that concentration of power. I mean, especially when you look at the Avengers and the Justice League taking out only a handful of the members of either of those teams. Each one of those members is a weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, whether you're talking Cyborg, Superman, Iron Man, you know, Thor, what have you, there's so many of them that could really take down, if there's not other powered people, could take down a country, if not the entire planet, fairly easily. So I like it when you have those people of the scent, and Ollie Quinn has always been that person, and always, you know, it's always good to give someone a foil that brings their vulnerabilities. So, you know, give them maybe another Speedy, or better yet, again, like I said, with the older version of him, we throw in all the other things. He's blind, runs political office, to see how he, you know, how well him and Roy don't get along, and a lot of those sorts of things. I always found, and then I'll kind of hush on this, I always found the Ollie Quinn, Roy Harper dynamic acts a little more interesting to me than Bruce and Dick Grayson. I just have always found because Batman and Nightwing is always kind of bubbling under the surface, but they don't let it out that much, because on some level Dick really wants Daddy to love him versus Roy Harper has no issue telling Ollie Quinn to go to hell. Which I go, there you go. There it is. You cost me my arm, Pops. So right. I always think that I just always love that.
Yeah, I think that they got more, you know, when the writers, they got more freedom with Green Arrow and Red Arrow or Arsenal.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, Red Arrow, sure, whatever. If I don't care. But like Arsenal is a way cooler name.
Arsenal is much cooler.
And
just like guess what? I don't care how cool of a hood they give you. Red Robin would never sound as cool as Nightwing.
Right.
Red Arrow would never sound as good as Arsenal. It just won't happen.
Right. I mean, and you could say Red Robin and I want a hamburger.
Absolutely.
Right. You know, I mean, like
similar to, you know what? I don't care. Kid Impulse would never sound as cool as Kid Flash.
Yeah.
It just won't happen. It just won't happen. Yes. Right.
And you know, there's better names out there. I mean, like, come on, people floated these names. They're like, enough said.
You know, you know, many of these characters have been around for decades upon decades at this point. But in a 2022 lens, you know, it'd be like, is it a little on the, I think it's Mystery Men that points that out, where the blue Rajas wear anything blue. Like, well, isn't that a little on the nose? Like, to give me something in blue? Like, so, you know, Green Arrow, everything he wears is green. Isn't that a little obvious? Like, could we, you know, play with that, you know? Or and Black Lightning, he's a brother. All right, like, come on now. Let's have a little imagination.
Yeah, and in a world where DNA is left everywhere, you know?
Yes. So this, I meant to ask you all this under the war reporting, but this is as good a place as any. Have you ever noticed, now e-commerce is different because, you know, just how it happens, but have you ever noticed that with all the Star Trek and Star Wars TV shows and movies, that's for those two properties, we never see anyone use the restroom?
Mandalorian.
Yes, okay.
Was
yes.
the first one, yes.
Yes.
Star Trek, I can't think of anything, but yeah.
Yeah.
I remember like you never
see. I get we don't see them like in there, but
yeah.
You never see like you know, Data makes sense. You never see like Worf would be perfect. Like you never see Worf like coming out of whatever they use and talking about don't go in there for 45 minutes. Like yeah. I don't feel like following a Klingon would just be like, nah, nope. Next deck. Okay, Worf just did his thing. Yeah.
The back tube.
Yes. But you're right. In a world where we leave DNA anywhere, if we did have true, by the way, don't forget The Boys season 3 is coming very, very soon. I think June 3rd.
Yeah. Oh, Stranger Things comes out this next week too.
Yes. So I'm a little more excited for The Boys than Stranger Things, but I'm excited for both.
Yeah.
But really excited for just anything where Carl Urban goes Carl Urban, it was works for me.
Okay. Like,
I want Carl Urban's character and Samuel Jackson, what else does I want Nick Fury. I just feel like those two just, and again, if you did like some amalgamation thing, those two just sitting at a desk, just scowling at each other would just be fantastic.
So I read this article and it was actually pretty brilliant, actually, is that so Doctor Strange's spell that he put on Spider-Man, so nobody on Earth
yes
remembers
very
Spider-Man.
Specifically, yes.
Nick Fury's not on Earth.
Correct.
So does Nick Fury know Spider-Man?
Of course he does. Again, that's perfect. And again, we've talked about this before, similar to in the Batman, that hush written on the screen. Like, that doesn't happen accidentally, right?
right.
Okay. Like, so absolutely for them to go, you know, no one on Earth. So, yes, that's Nick Fury. That's also, I'm trying to think.
The Guardians.
What was that?
The Guardians.
The Guardians. I was going as well, because they're where he's Peter Parker. You know, there's all these different things that they can do to bring that out. And you know what? Hopefully, maybe we get a taste of that, maybe as a mid-credit or in-credit scene from Love and Thunder. Like maybe get some with Peter there, you know, just, you know, Mr. Parker, and, you know, and then we move forward. So, yes, absolutely.
Do you think Spider-Man could pick up Mjolnir?
No.
No, you don't think his...
He is absolutely not worthy. Because he's a teenager. And he's with all those teenage insecurities, anxieties. You know, can you imagine? Okay, for no other reason than this. Again, spoiler alert. So if you've not seen No Way Home, this is a spoiler alert. He has so much guilt over Aunt May's death. There is no way he could pick up Mjolnir.
Yeah, I fair. That's fair.
Plus, you know, I'm sorry. Okay, this is going to sound creepy. You know, if she was your aunt and you're a teenager.
You might need some more tube socks.
And by the way, when you're dating John Favreau, isn't every ending a happy ending? Yeah. Folks, this is the high-level intellectual conversation you only get on Prevent of the Nerds. Okay.
Oh, that was amazing. Good job, sir. You win Prevenge of the Nerds too this week.
Bro, we're going to make it happen. Okay. You know what I do? I keep it classy. All right. Yes. All right, sir.
I've been looking for ever since you teased me about your pitch today. I have been looking forward to this.
Okay. So I'm going to give my pitch, but I got to give a lead in to the pitch of my inspiration. So let me start by saying this. And I think this will be a great future Prevenge show. Which is historically, I really like the idea of time travel when it's done well. Okay, when it's done well. So really quick, Endgame lost me for about 5 minutes the first time. I've seen Endgame a million times at this point, But when they use time travel as here, hey, here's how we'll retcon and move away from things, we'll go back in time. It's kind of lazy writing, but I thought they pulled it off well. Love Endgame. But I love the aspect of time travel. Back to the Future is one of my favorite shows. In fact, I have some pieces here when I give the pitch for this that I think honors some of the time travel things that I get to feel we both enjoy. So my pitch is for a new show called Timelines. And here's the idea of Timelines. All right. So the show centers around an African-American man by the name of Marcus Grayson. And Marcus did you like that?
I love it.
That was the first thing. Here's where we're going here. Okay. So Marcus Grayson is actually a public school teacher. But Marcus Grayson doesn't sleep a lot because he continually has very, very vivid dreams. And in fact, in some of these dreams, if he's hurt, he wakes up with the occasional bruise. But he doesn't feel he can go to anyone to talk about this because they're going to think he's insane. So this is his secret going on. He has these really, and he's convinced himself that what actually happens is somehow he rolls out of bed. He's injuring himself, but he's just dreaming that he's really being hit or attacked, what have you. So as Marcus, who lives fairly close to his public school that he teaches at, he often walks to work, and we're shown as the audience this somewhat shadowy figure walking behind him. And we eventually, this figure approaches Marcus, and his name is Al, or we'll call him Albert. And Albert explains that Marcus is what is called a touchstone. What is a touchstone, you may ask?
A phone.
A touchstone is a person that their entire bloodline, their DNA, is tied to the stability of the universe. So during all the most important aspects of history that must happen, there is someone from his bloodline. There is someone with his similar DNA that is present at all of these events. Al explains that he is a Mason of time. And the Masons of time's job is to build and maintain the integrity of the timeline. Now, while you have the Masons of time, or the MOTs, on as the protagonist.
And some good applesauce.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
The Masons of Time tables, M-O-T-T. Yes, absolutely. All right. You know, that's a good one. Maybe we'll have him walk with an apple. Okay.
Right.
So, on the other end of it, you have the evildoers. And I'm just going to straight up take this from Multiverse because it's using a lot of them. We have the Illuminati. And so the Illuminati are working to reshape time the way that they think it should be. So, Marcus as a touchstone, and there are several touchstones in our world, but Marcus as a touchstone, what a Mason is able to do is to take any touchstone and send them back in time where they can inhabit the body of an ancestor. So he can travel back in time and inhabit the body of an ancestor. Now, there are a few things that are the rules of this. Number one, he can only fix what he's been ordered to fix. Also, he will, during travel back, he will get flashes of some of the memories during what they call the fall. And when he falls into an ancestor, he only has 88 hours to accomplish his mission, and he will fall forward. The other piece of this is that every time he travels to an ancestor, that is a one and done. Whatever ancestor he inhabits, he cannot inhabit that ancestor again. So if he fails, there's no going back and fixing it. So that is going to be the general premise of the timeline. It'll be a series, not a movie. is that he will weakly fall into an ancestor's body. He will get flashes of their life that he needs to try to remember as much as he can. And while he is in the past, Al or Albert can visit him, but in each body he inhabits, how that person perceives Al will change. So Al would look differently in every episode, but will look like someone from that period of time. And obviously, he will have to deal with as the time changes. So the first episode will be he needs to ensure that Abraham Lincoln delivers the Gettysburg Address. So imagine being a person of color taken back to that timeline and what that means of him trying to negotiate and get close to the president of the United States. So, and remember, he only has 88 hours to do so. And a la 24, there'll be a clock in the corner showing as time goes down. And the last thing on this, before I ask your opinion, there would definitely be episodes if this was to be a thing. Definitely, especially in the first season, there will be things he fails at that explains why our world is the way it is currently. So he will not have a 100% success rate. So that is my pitch for Marcus Grayson, the star of Touchstones. I'm sorry, of Timeline. He is a Touchstone.
Fantastic. You had me at Grayson.
I thought I might.
Great idea. I think it'd be really cool if in everywhere that he goes, there's a stone that he has to touch, or yes, like he could embed something that ends up in the Lincoln Memorial or yes, something like
I
that.
I love that.
And then he could go visit those, yes, and he yes could touch the stone and he could
absolutely
remember different things. So like yes, he could just be going random things and accidentally touch something and Marcus right would be able to see something.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's so good. That is so good. And then you could have like a similar DNAs from the Illuminati.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they would be. The Illuminati yeah would be folks that are traveling back in time as well. And also when Marcus will ask, well, where do the Masons come from? They will, Al would be, or Albert would be purposely vague. Mm-hmm. But that would be one of the things that as we get go, like maybe the MOTs or the MOTs, maybe they're not as benevolent as you would think. So I really think there'll be a lot of things you can do that. So right, let me just go through a couple things, see, because I think you caught all the ones I threw out there. So his last name, Grayson, is a reference to, of course.
Yep, Dick Grayson.
Yep. Did you catch the reason he's in the past for 88 hours?
88 hours DeLorean.
Yep, perfectly. And then I picked Al or Albert.
Quantum Leap. Number,
I'm sorry?
Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap. And also in Quantum Leap, Scott Bakula's favorite person, his idol was Albert Einstein. So mm-hmm, we got to throw some Albert stuff. So yes, that would totally be it. In fact, I was even thinking of having Marcus's dog be named Gushy. So just to throw, yep, that cat, I'm not in the same room as you. That cat scared the heck out of me. So yes.
Well, and Assassin's Creed.
Yes,
with the DNA.
Yes, with the DNA,
you got absolutely a little bit of Assassin's Creed in there
absolutely
as well. So
absolutely, so man, I think time loves to be fun.
Yep, and you know, I mean, roughly, you could even do a little bit of Time Cop.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Or even Jackie Chan, the one. You know, I'm not Jackie Chan. Jet Li with the one. Yeah.
Oh, Jet Li, man. Gosh, I miss Jet Li.
I do as well.
Man. He got some disease or something, right?
Yeah, I forget what it was, but he definitely was impacted. It was a health concern.
Yeah.
That really impacted his career. I mean, he was so awesome. I mean, similar to Jackie Chan, you know, there were some English things that needed, but he absolutely, from an action standpoint, I mean, Lethal Weapon 4 hatch. I love all the Lethal Weapons, but Lethal Weapon 4 is probably my least favorite.
Yeah.
But again, that end fight with him and Gibson and Danny Glover. And of course, again, the one for the martial arts piece. The Dragon Emperor, I think he's in that as well.
Romeo Must Die.
Oh, wow. I forgot about Romeo
Must Die. Great movie.
Yes. I mean, there's just a lot that could be done. You know, and honestly, had they actually cast him as Mr. Lee, spelled differently, in the revamp of Karate Kid, we may have gotten a sequel. Or we just got to watch Jet Li just kick the hell out of Jaden Smith, which that would have worked as well.
I mean, yeah, we'd be down for a sequel.
Yes. More, beat it. Yeah.
that's great.
He has hypothyroidisms. He's recovered from it somewhat, but because of the way the illness is exacerbated due to stress, he's doing a few films here and there, but he really has to limit the action and physical requirements of it. So obviously that was his bread and butter. Yeah. So he still does the occasional film, but not nearly. Again, everyone, please stay healthy. So in order to for his health, he has to do different types of roles than he did before. So yeah,
nice, man. I think that went pretty good. Anything else you want to say?
Well, number one, I think we're going to revisit this both in the variant verse as well. And you know what? I can see this fitting in the variant verse timeline. I mean, that's just one of the people in that variant verse, you know, Mr. Marcus Grayson. Again, by the way, that again was the first thing I came up. I don't know why I knew I wanted his first name to be Marcus. Like, what's the last thing that it just hit me? It's got to be Grayson.
Yeah.
Because I just think the idea of having the Grayson bloodline be just one of the chosen bloodlines. And, you know, as I'm babying the scripts, when he's first told, hey, you're part of this, basically this Touchstone dynasty, he would have to go, so what are we like, the Fabulous Graysons? I just figured that will be, and I was just like, Brad would totally geek out over this, be fantastic. So, but yes. Yeah, so we're going to probably play with timelines and the variant verse, definitely some upcoming shows. And I really think, Brad, I think a good show, we haven't done a list show in a minute, but we might want to talk about maybe some of our favorite time travel products, whether there's movies or television shows, because there are definitely some great ones that we've had. I heard there's gonna one of the high ones on my list is gonna be part of the inspiration of this is that it's Quantum Leap. Such a great show. Such a great show.
Well, let's do it next week.
Beautiful.
That sounds like a fun time. I was actually gonna suggest, like, hey, let's we haven't done lists in a while.
Yeah,
so let's go ahead and do a couple of lists. So
all right, that'll work.
Brian, how can we get a hold of you?
All right, so you can always find me on Facebook at Brian Stephen Dennis. Feel free to give me a like or a follow, friend request. I definitely try and always keep Facebook posts light, entertaining, more of the same. I will also usually be one of the first to show up on your timeline because I don't sleep. So I start posting like at 5 o'clock in the morning, as Bradley knows, because he's using my first like of the day. So yeah. I appreciate that, brother. So yeah, so as always, thank you for listening. But yes, Brian Stephen Dennis on Facebook.
All right, and you can tweet at me at Fandemic3. Message me on Facebook at The Fandemic. I'm also active on TikTok at The Fandemic1. I do some reviews. I've been doing a lot of motivational things because
those are really great, by the way.
We need some motivation in our lives. So there's a lot of people struggle mentally, and you know what? If 15 seconds can make somebody's day, I'm all for it. So keep things positive.
Absolutely.
Now, if you want to support the show, there are several ways to do so. Go to Patreon at patreon.com/PVOTNFandemic. You can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/thefandemic. PayPal or Venmo at Bradley Butin, or just share the show with someone you want to make a little more awesome. Also, don't forget to leave a 5-star review. Help others find us as well. And if you like this show, make sure you check out what show, Brian?
The War Report.
The Fandemic War Report. We're all over the place. We got plenty of stuff over there. So, Brian, let's go ahead and close this up.
Well, as always, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for leveling up. You're awesome. Having a great time with us. Always keeping it positive. And remember, no retreat, no surrender. And Goonies, never say die.
Thanks for catching up. You're welcome for leveling up your awesomeness. We're all playing the same game in life, just on a different level. Live free or die empty. Have a great day.
Goodbye.
Bro, yeah, here, go ahead and say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. What?